Highway 101. When you're lost and lonely in the dark, take a tip from Shelley, Bruce, and Mark. Tune in, tune on, Recovery 101. You'll find the booze in use. We'll help you lose the blues.
We don't throw rules at you.
Well, except Rule 62.
When you get that urge and feel that need, don't go drinking shots or smoking weed. Tune in, tune on. Insanity can be fun at Recovery 101.
Thank you to Phil and the Harmonics for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA. NAOACAGAPASLASLASERRRMMDRAHAFA, or any of them there, guys.
Or any of the Anons.
We don't speak for them either. We only speak for ourselves.
Barely.
Because we're the only people that would claim our comments.
Jizz.
So, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
So, Shelly.
Yeah.
Dodgers and Cubs, who do you want?
I don't care. They're not the Reds.
So what? If your team doesn't make it, you just don't give a crap?
Pretty much. I mean, am I supposed to care?
I don't know. Mark, who's your favorite baseball team of all time?
Dodgers.
Okay. If it was Cubs versus Yankees, who would you be rooting for?
The Cubs, because they probably beat the Dodgers to get there.
That's right.
So I'll always cheer for whoever beats my team.
You know what?
Because if it weren't for them, my team would have won it all.
I do that as well, because if my team gets beat in a playoff game, I want the team that beat them to be the champions.
That's right.
Because otherwise, then they're just like, then you become like the third place guys.
Okay, but I can't switch loyalties just because somebody beat my team.
Yeah, switch
I'm loyal
loyalties.
To my team,
why would you have to
period.
Switch your loyalty?
Because you're rooting for somebody that's not your team. It's like cheating on your spouse or something.
Really? So if your team is not playing, you're cheating by cheering for someone that actually is playing?
You just have to enjoy the sport for what it is.
Oh, no. I have fierce loyalties.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, there you go. So, we're coming up on the holidays.
Do we have to talk about that now? It's not even Halloween yet, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That's one of the holidays we're coming up on.
Ugh.
Don't you have a website that you sell stuff that people could buy things for the holidays?
Well, not for Halloween.
I mean, you wouldn't want to talk about that, would you?
Not for Halloween. I mean, you could go to Mimi's Magic Room and buy jewelry on Etsy. Go to Etsy.com. Or you could go to Terminal Unique Apparel and buy t-shirts.
But you don't, like, do anything that would be good for cooler weather, whether it was as a present or not? Scarves or hats or anything like that?
Okay, but I don't have those on the site yet.
None? You sold out of them last year?
Sure. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where you're going with this. The problem is I don't have anybody to model the hats.
Oh.
So I can't take pictures of them, because you can't put a picture of just a hat with no model because it looks stupid.
On Friday, on Thursday, why don't you take a couple with you and have a couple of the hotties from the meeting do it?
Well, that's true. I could try that.
Yes, you could. You could. Mark, how's Long Beach going?
Coming along.
Your business venture.
Coming along. Working away.
The business venture adventure.
Where do your grapes come from?
All over the world.
Oh, okay. So you're not like dependent
from
on
everywhere.
Napa?
Nope. I am not dependent on Napa.
Oh, yeah. That's probably a good thing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. A whole bunch of the wineries got
Matter
devastated.
Of fact, I don't think she listens to the show, but if she does, shout out to Regina and the people in the program up there. She sent me a picture on Snapchat of her sponsor's house just burnt to the ground. And apparently where she lives isn't like right on top of where it's at, but they're all wearing masks and everything.
Yeah.
I was sponsee
in FA. It's been going up to Napa for 29 years. Her sister and brother-in-law live up there. And they got evacuated and things didn't turn out so well for them.
Well, apparently the flames were like so fast. There were people that saw it like coming towards their backyard, and by the time they got out the front door, there was fire all around them. I mean, like ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, that's it's kind of one of the situations. Like when we have brush fires down here, I never really I don't worry that we're going to be affected by it so much, other than smoke and ash, because we live in the middle of a lot of dense fuel, a lot of houses, a lot of businesses and stuff. The winds were so fierce that it pushed the fire so fast. I mean, the places that burned, there was a lot of dense fuel.
And see, I don't worry about that. I don't worry about the dense fuel thing where we're at.
That slows down fires. That's why we wouldn't really be impacted.
Right. But in which clearly this fire has shown that that's not true.
That's not true. If it's moving fast enough, it doesn't matter what kind of fuel it is.
But it's just that we, you know, where the fires always get started where we are is up in the hills. Always. Like, it's almost like clockwork.
And it usually goes north.
Well, think about it. We keep everything up in the mountains. We keep the snow up there. We keep the fires up there. We keep the bark beetles up there.
We keep the escaped prisoners up there.
We do.
As opposed to Napa, there is a, and I know it probably doesn't help that much, but there is a fairly good section of fire breaks and things like that up there, which give them a chance to get in there. And you know, I'll tell you what, though. One of those fire breaks, 70-mile-an-hour wind, that thing wouldn't even slow it down. It'd go right over one of those fire breaks. But, you know, at least they have those kinds of things. So I think that I would be willing to bet that the Napa area has none of that. Although, if it's skipping through neighborhoods like that, you know it's skipping across at least, you know, 60 feet of blacktop and stuff, which is probably not that different than a fire break
up
there.
I saw a video of the fire literally being pushed across a highway. I mean, it wasn't just like embers. It looked like the flames themselves were being pushed across by the wind. It was blowing it up and over. It was the most amazing thing. I've never even seen that, and I've driven through forest fires.
You know, I was wondering if I was stuck in a thing like that, because that's the kind of thing where it's like, you don't even know if you want to try driving down the street, man. Like, if I had a pool.
One couple did that.
They had nowhere to go. They jumped in the neighbor's pool.
Yeah, that's what I'd do.
They were in the water for 6 hours before the flames had moved on and they could get out. But then another couple tried that, and the wife actually died in his arms because it's not all that warm, you know, up there right now. So
I was thinking it was pretty warm.
It's pretty warm up there right now.
Mostly California.
No, well, I think the story
all
says
in
she
the
died
of the fire.
In the middle of the fire,
it's very warm.
Yeah,
what I wondered about is jumping into a pool like that. It's like, do you need something to cover over you? Because I would think that close to the flames and smoke, there might be a significant amount of smoke. And you don't want to be breathing in smoke while you're in water.
Well, the couple that survived, they actually jumped in. They had T-shirts, and they put the T-shirt over their face.
Yeah, and see, that's the first thing I thought of. Yeah. Something like that.
A filter would be a good idea.
Putting something over the top of you. Ah, well, we hope everyone's okay up there, and we'll pray for all of you. In the meantime.
I would like to give a shout-out to, and this person will probably never hear this, but if you live up in that area and you ever meet a woman named Ursula Studer, she's been pulling 20-hour days in the Napa area. She's actually from Yountville.
From where?
Yountville, Yountville. It's a small town up there.
Yountville.
She's an attorney. Yountville? She's an attorney, and she works for the government. And she's been pulling 20-hour days doing physical labor, feeding firefighters, helping people find supplies, doing whatever is asked of her. And she actually was a woman I knew in high school.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, very cool.
She's been posting she's been posting updates and things on. And also like to give a shout out to our friend Malcolm H. He is in recovery. He lives up in the area. He's on a regular terrestrial radio station, and he has stayed on the air through the entire thing, and on Facebook and on Instagram.
It's the one
posting updates every hour.
I heard something
to tell people where to go, what to do, where is not safe, where the new evacuations are, everything. He's been keeping people on top of it.
I heard something on KFI today where they were mentioning that up there, there's only one radio station that even works because all these towers got burnt down and everything.
Right.
So this
guy, that's Malcolm,
has got to be on the station they're talking about.
That's Malcolm.
Cool. Wow. Well, you know what that means.
What's that mean, Bruce?
It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, we have shout-outs to several people here. Fran, Bill, Robert, Greg, Alan, Randy, Johnny, Marty, Sally, Dakota, Georgette, Jack, the other Mark, M, Damon, and Neil.
Which Marty?
I don't know.
Marty, probably.
Not the one-man party.
No.
You know, Marty was busy kissing the ring of the Pope the other day.
He's in Italy, man.
Is he even Catholic?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
No, he's a good atheist like the rest of us.
Well, it's not often you get the chance to kiss.
That's right.
The hand of the Pope.
I'd do it. I'm Methodist.
I'd do it, and I'd you know.
Be like getting to kiss the ass of a Victoria's Secret model. You'd do it whether you were in or not.
Well, okay. So would Shelley. So it's okay.
That's
same,
true.
Same thing.
Okay, in St. Augustine, Florida.
Named, the grass is named after there.
It is.
St. Augustine grass. I don't know.
Oh.
Well, it's probably named after the saint, but who knows?
Homeowner came home. Woman came home. Her name is not given in the story. She found Mary Hamilton naked on the floor of her home eating canned pineapple.
How old is this girl?
Hamilton is 63.
The one that on the floor eating the pineapple?
Naked on the floor eating pineapple.
Yeah, I don't need to see that. Well, you never know.
She's been charged with burglary and theft.
Raquel Welch still looks good.
Gilf?
Gilf. Not at 63, probably just a Gilf.
Gilf, okay.
She did take a t-shirt that belonged to the homeowner's son, but apparently did not don it because she was naked when the cops arrived. She started out by eating some of the leftovers from the refrigerator before she moved on to the canned pineapple.
How stoned was she?
Well, the story was one of those this just in things, so the toxicology was not back on this. Apparently, she was taken off to jail.
Well, I'm thinking she had the munchies.
I'm thinking munchies, because if you're that indiscriminate, she said she told the police that the reason she was there was because she saw the door was open and thought that that meant she could go in. So I'm guessing she was pretty much stoned out of her mind and starving.
Hey, man, where are the Cheetos?
Yeah, well, we got leftovers and pineapple. Okay.
That'll do.
Yeah. And at first, the police thought, wow, my things suddenly got big. There we go. At first, the police thought she was like a homeless woman that was just wandering through the neighborhood, but it turned out she lived down the street.
Oh.
And her house was right there, and the door was open at her house, too. So
She was out of pineapple.
She was out of pineapple. She walked out of her house.
Excuse me, do you have some pineapple I can borrow? My sponsee today was telling me he had gotten really stoned with his friends one time, and he goes, and we went to a Little Caesars, and I'm like, yeah? And he goes, well, you know, Little Caesars it's a takeout pizza place. I mean, nobody sits in there and eats. And he goes, we did. He goes, you just know the people behind the counter like, wow, these guys are stoned. That pizza's not even going to make it to the car.
Yep.
He went in there and said, you guys got any pineapple?
Pinellas Park.
Is that Florida also?
Yes. Oh.
Florida. Pinellas Park?
I think it's Pinellas. P-I-N-E-L-L-A-S.
Pine Lass.
At any rate, according to the sheriff's office, William Joe Johnson.
Uh-oh.
Three names. First names. Nope. Two first names.
But yeah, but I don't know. Wait, I don't think this is
this?
A
every
drug
week
story.
Now there's a Johnson?
Yes.
Is this one exposed like the last one was?
No.
Yeah.
26 years old.
If it's not exposed, it's because he's not trying very hard.
Well, I think this guy's going to go to jail, and he's being held on $100,000 bail.
Ooh.
He didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, but that's a pretty high bail.
That's a high bail for not hurting anybody.
Well, it is because it's a felony, because he robbed a bank.
Oh, well, yeah. That'll
is it a real felony?
But the thing is, I don't know that he should really be charged with it. Because, I mean, we're always telling people that need to educate themselves, and they need to, you know, look things up and stuff. And he did. He told the police he needed some money, so he Googled how to rob a bank, and he followed the instructions.
apparently.
So why are we? I mean, we're like we're. Google dropped his mic.
Google, you know, a YouTube video made by a guy that's never successfully robbed a bank ever, because apparently it didn't work for this guy, did it?
Oh no, it worked. The police had to find him. He managed to get the money.
Well, you know what?
They tracked him down.
Well, you should Google how to get away with robbing a bank.
Yeah, because let me
the second video was key.
When I was at Impact House, I had several guys who had robbed banks tell me, they're like, robbing banks is not nearly as exciting as movies make it. Like, you go in, you hand them a note, they hand you a satchel of cash, and you walk out. Like, nobody gets stopped in banks anymore. They don't want to stop you inside. They just give you a die pack inside the thing. And this one guy told me he's driving down the freeway, and he goes,
pop.
Next thing you knew is the entire inside of his car is filled with this, like, red dust that, like, just stained everything. And he goes, I'm trying to take this. And because it blows up some of the money, too, like, when this thing explodes. And he's, like, trying to give this red, tainted money to his dealer, and his dealer's like, I don't want that. Because if you even touch it, if you try and wash it off, it spreads. It's like the things that they put on pull things for fire hydrants or for fire alarms.
Okay, this is in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque.
Okay.
Albuquerque. There is a particular home. The homeowners apparently rented their home out for a number of years to the makers of the television show Breaking Bad, because it was the home originally that Walter White lived in the show. And it was used as a set for filming that. And the homeowners, you know, rented it out while they were filming, and then they would go away. Then they would, you know, the homeowners went home. They are now building a minimum 6 foot high wall and gate, several yards, good distance, maybe at the end of the driveway. They haven't really determined.
Because people are coming there?
The show's been off the air for, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah, 2 years.
And they get hundreds of people every weekend coming to their house, ringing the doorbell, and asking that they leave their home so that the tourists can come in and take pictures.
I would be charging.
I would be turning this into the Breaking Bad Museum.
I would, too. But here's the thing that made me laugh.
Hell yeah.
It really bothered them. It wasn't, I mean, yeah, it's annoying having your whole weekend interrupted by people ringing your doorbell hundreds of times. The thing that was really annoying was that they were tired of going up on the roof to get the pizza off of it. Because there's a scene in the show when he goes back to his house and I don't know what the altercation was, and he throws the pizza up in the air and it lands on the roof of the garage. And apparently, a lot of tourists go and buy pepperoni pizzas
and throw them
just
to
throw them on the roof of this person's house.
That's bizarre. You know what's really weird? I've had a number of people tell me that I look like Walter White, and I don't see it at all.
Not at all.
I don't think I look even remotely like Bryan
Cranston.
Not at all.
Nope.
Eddie Van Halen, yes, but Bryan Cranston, no. Mm. And I've had, like, more than a few people. You know, used to tell me Michael that used to drive for me. He's like, yeah, you look just like him. I'm like, I do not look like a Bryan Cranston.
His next story is out of Shepherdsville, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
This is just another day at Walmart.
Is there fentanyl involved?
No fentanyl involved.
Someone cooking meth in
55-year-old David Bethel.
Does he have a limp?
A what?
Does he have a limp?
No.
If he's in Walmart, he has to have a limp.
He was pushing his cart around Walmart just like everybody does. He cracked a beer and drank his beer just like everybody else does in Walmart. He got a corn dog out of the deli and ate his corn dog just like everybody else does.
And then tried to walk out without paying for any of it?
Well, no. He just didn't want to pay for the beer and the corn dog.
Oh.
But that would mean yes.
That was the price of me shopping here.
Yeah, he had other stuff in his cart that he was paying for. But it's Walmart. You get beer and a corn dog when you go.
And
don't
you
know doesn't
what?
Everybody?
How many times? Because I for sure have. I have drank a soda or eaten something when I'm walking around a store.
But I pay for
and
it.
I put the empty package on the thing so they can scan it and charge me for it. I've done that a number of times.
Drinks especially.
Yeah.
If you're going to eat something in the grocery store, as long as you pay for it, I suppose I would give you a pass on that. But well, of course, this is Walmart in Kentucky. What were they expecting?
Well, and the thing is,
I mean, doesn't everybody in Kentucky get a beer and a corn dog at the door when they walk into Walmart?
You should.
They popped him at the door, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's being held at the Bullitt County Jail.
Well, because up until the very last moment, if you haven't walked out the door, they can't arrest you. Because you could say, well, I was about to pay for that. But, you know, and you, yeah, you, they
arrest him for a beer and a corn dog.
You have to break the plane of the door before they can even approach you on it. Because we used to be that way. We'd see people put things in their pockets when I was a security guard. You could watch them. But you couldn't do anything unless they crossed the plane of the door.
Now,
then you could go bust them.
That's not what I was taught in loss prevention at the warehouse. We were taught as long as we saw someone put something somewhere where it was obviously supposed to be concealed, then we could go and get our manager and they would hit the person up before they left. I'm sorry, but if you're tucking 5 CDs down your pants, you're probably not intending to pay for them.
Well, I didn't have a cart.
All it takes is at the last minute for them to pull it out at the cash register, though.
Oh, gross.
Pardon me while I whip this out.
Pardon me. What was that guy's name?
Cleavon Little.
Cleavon Little, yeah. You know what? That movie could never be released today the way it was back in the day. And even though everyone in that movie is... I mean, there are racist jokes all through that thing.
Sure.
And everybody laughed. Every race laughed at it. It was just funny. And it's like, you couldn't even release Blazing Saddles.
We rarely get through a week in our office without cutting to a Blazing Saddles line of some sort.
Dude, when Mongo knocks out the horse.
Yeah.
This next story was in Dunlap, Tennessee.
Boy, we're getting a lot from that area. Did Fran send this?
No, I found these. The Dunlap Police Department arrested Brian Zielinski on charges of burglary and resisting arrest. Mr. Zielinski is a member of the Hells Angels gang. I'm not sure exactly why they allow him in the gang. He goes by the name of Captain Jack Sparrow in the gang and will not go out in public unless he is dressed as a pirate.
There we go.
There we go.
We got there.
We don't know why. He hasn't told anybody why he must be dressed like a pirate at all times. But when they took his picture, his mugshot, he refused to remove his red gloves.
Red gloves?
He wears red gloves and his pirate hat and his vest and fluffy shirt and the whole
bit. He's more like the French pirate in the Corsair.
Maybe, but he wouldn't remove his red gloves. There's no explanation for why he's dressed like a pirate, and he's a Hell's Angel. This makes no sense. I don't understand. But he was actually, technically, the charge was arrested for burglary while dressed as a pirate.
That's the actual charge?
That's what it says.
Is it a different charge than you get arrested for burglary dressed as a clown?
I think probably the author of the article interpreted that. But that's what it says. What is it about pirate costumes? I don't get it.
Well, we're almost
yo
at Halloween.
Yo ho,
naked
ho.
Naked people and pirates.
Pirates life for me.
Okay, this happened in Melbourne.
Florida.
Come to the land of wonder, the land down under.
No, probably not that one. Probably the other one.
Melbourne.
Australia.
Melbourne.
Florida.
Thank you. Jeez.
Oh, well.
That was rough. Okay. At the 7-Eleven, Stephanie L. Hicks would be three names if it wasn't an initial. No word on exactly how inebriated she was. She walked into the 7-Eleven and she went to buy a sandwich and then wanted to get a cup of nacho cheese to dip her sandwich into. And the clerk told her not to open the cheese dispenser because it wasn't ready yet.
She didn't listen, did she?
She didn't listen.
What happened, Shelley? What happened?
Well, she had a cup of nacho cheese in her hand because she didn't listen, and the clerk wouldn't serve her because she said, you didn't listen to me, and the woman said, I'm not an idiot. The customer is always right, and then threw the nacho cheese on her.
Well, she was right.
Was it hot?
It was hot at that point, yes.
So it's a salt?
Now it's a salt.
And a pepper.
Probably, yes. It's assault with a cheesy weapon.
And she could be burned.
The police were called.
I think melted cheese is a
little bit hot.
Napalm.
Yeah. The clerk who was then bathed in yellow cheese, called the police and had her arrested.
Who has the right to refuse service to anybody.
Yeah. And the woman continued to scream, the customer is always right. And the police informed her that, no, she was not.
Customer is always right. Do you think you're going to jail? Yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, this last story was one of the stories I read, and I thought, I missed this boat. McDonald's.
Mickey D's.
Apparently, they did something that pissed off a lot of customers. There's a show called Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what this show is. I don't know anything
it's
about it.
It's a cartoon.
It. Okay.
Is this about the... it's got to be about the sauce.
Yes. There's Szechuan, Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce that McDonald's had at one point.
Uh-huh.
They talked about it on the show.
They... Oh.
And it didn't exist.
It didn't... That's right. Okay. So McDonald's...
It never existed.
It never existed. But McDonald's said that they were going to, as a sort of Rick and Morty commemorative whatever... They produced a certain number of Szechuan packets with the little characters or some graphic, whatever, on the front of it. And the release date for this, I don't know what the date is. It wasn't that long ago.
Did people line up in droves?
At any rate, McDonald's let people know when the Szechuan sauces would be available in the stores. However, they did not make enough, and each store only received 20 packets.
Yeah, not and they had like hundreds of people
yes.
show up.
Hundreds of people waiting to get these Szechuan
pissed. Packets. It's like they were pissed.
It's actually it did exist. It existed in 1998 for a brief period of time
for a
go
real short time.
on a like a Chinese burrito type of thing because
right.
it was for the movie Mulan.
And then it was gone for years and years.
Yes, and in the show Rick and Morty the characters make it their mission in life to find more of this Szechuan sauce. So anyway, 23-year-old graphic designer drove 45 minutes to Detroit to go to a McDonald's that she didn't think would be very busy. And she said, but still, when she got there, there were hundreds of people waiting and the line was around the building. But she did she and her friend both managed, they probably, I don't know how they managed, they cut in line or something, but they managed to be two of the 20 people.
The two guys in the front of the line? Are extremely happy right now.
No. They were only allowing... Oh, very funny. They were only allowing each customer to have one packet.
Right.
So there were only 20 packets, right? So she goes on to social... She goes on Facebook, makes a little picture of her. Hi, got one of the sauces. Ha ha. Rick and Morty fans.
How much did she sell it for?
People started offering her money for it. And she was like, money? What the heck? And wasn't expecting anything, right? She thought, well... Just going to throw this out here.
How many hundreds
She posted
did it, go?
It on a trading site and got a car for it. She got a 2000 Volkswagen Golf MK4. That's running. The guy drove his car to her office building to trade for the sauce packet. I'm sorry, but you may think you have the art of the deal, but this girl... I'm sorry, if you can trade one condiment packet for an entire
car... Especially since when they release more of these, the condiment packets are going to look exactly the same. There's going to be no way to tell.
Yes, $800 just for a poster of the McDonald's sauce. Holy crap. Mark's looking at eBay.
$800 for the poster of what?
Of the McDonald's sauce packet. Coming to this McDonald's session. Yeah. McDonald's has said that they will make another brief
$400 for the packet itself.
Jeez.
On eBay.
Yeah, but that girl
got a
car.
Well, they kept going up.
What was that thing? Do you remember the thing, the trading thing where the guy started out with
He
like,
started out with a paperclip.
Wait.
He started out with a paperclip.
Wait,
and
that was on
the
Huffington Post. I don't
house.
Know if that's true or not. That's pretty fake news.
No, he didn't get a house. He gets a boat or something.
Well, I think he got a house.
The Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce fiasco and Harvey Weinstein topped this week's internet. What the fuck is wrong with our country?
Oh, and it's not just Harvey Weinstein. Now, what was the other guy, Shelley? The guy, the head of
production
for Amazon Studios
is now suspended because of sexual harassment.
You're going to find a number
a
of...
A lot of people are... Hollywood's going to implode,
no.
basically.
You're going to find a number of the Hollywood left going down in a huge way right now.
No. Now, let me just say...
Weinstein, one of the largest contributors to the
Clinton
campaign.
Let me just say, 15, 20 years ago, or 15, 20 minutes ago. It takes two to tango.
Yeah, well, you know what? And I'll tell you what. And when he said the thing of, I'm just used to this, I'm thinking when I was young, I had heard, when I was in the 70s, I remember people talking about the casting couch. I mean, not like this is like something new, but no one just seems to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I could see where guys, it happens in corporate too. You hear people say, sleep your way to the top.
Look, he's a powerful guy. People wanted what he could get them.
Because the only people you're hearing about right now are the people that said no, because you're not hearing from all the people that said yes because they were trying to make stuff happen. I mean, I'm not trying to defend him, but I'm just saying, how many women willingly went along with him for stuff to get stuff and maybe even suggested it to him?
Dude,
and, of course, they're not saying anything because they were willing participants.
1979. How many women for a gram of cocaine?
Which is a lot different than a million-dollar movie part or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I would have never traded cocaine to women for causes such as
you
that.
You are a fucking liar. For a line of cocaine, for a hit, for a small, for a $10 rock.
Yep. Yep. So Shelly must be in shell shock.
No, I'm just not going to contribute to that because I completely disagree. So, and that, my ex and friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back after a rather...
It was a heated off season.
It was a veritable, almost just sort of a free-for-all in here in the studio. You guys all missed it. But we're not going to talk about that right now. But we had some difference of opinion. Fortunately, though, tonight, we're talking about the 10-step.
Well, I just refuse to continue discussing it because it says in the book, when things are getting heated...
You know what? This is getting a little heated...
Maybe we should stop talking about this, which is exactly what I did. I followed the book.
Oh, well, you know.
See?
So step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And what did I say? With the quickness. So, the unfortunate thing for me in this step is I think that this step is one of those steps that, it's mini inventory, and it's like the idea is you try and make wrongs right as quick as possible with the direction of your sponsor or even without the direction of your sponsor. And if you do that, you're working the 10th step, and it's kind of like, you know, maybe the thing is, how do you know? How do you know if the thing, how do you know that you need to make an amends on something? Because to say, oh, the 10th step, you need to make amends every day so you don't, you know. Yeah, okay, so you do that.
I think the
who's
key
the lead
is
out
to...
music by?
Okay.
But, you know, 10th step, if you're wrong, promptly admit it. Okay, so if you think you're wrong, you promptly admit it. Okay, and then what? So maybe it's a thing of more like, how do you determine on your own?
I think that's where the whole page 86 comes into it.
Which is?
Which is, when you go to bed, we review the day to see where we had caused harm or... Basically, you take your little mini inventory every night is what you're supposed to do.
So you got to wait till the end of the day to do it?
Well, no. But I mean, when you do something wrong... I mean, you know, because
the end of the day, if I do something in the morning, the end of the day is not exactly promptly.
I'd say within 24 hours is prompt enough for an amends, wouldn't you?
Okay.
I think by the time you work through the first 9 steps, that you're probably in a pretty spiritually centered spot. And so you notice pretty quickly if you're getting out of line. But at the end of the day, you kind of review. I do. I said I kind of review. Is there anybody, you know, I always joke, I always go, you know, who'd I fuck, how'd I fuck them, and how do I fix it? But, yeah, I have throughout the day made sure I didn't, either I didn't do anything, or if I did, then I cleaned it up right away, you know?
I think it depends on how you feel in your skin.
But at the end of the day, if I don't make that list and make sure I'm right with the world, then I have a tendency to not take care of it the next day. And now pretty soon I've stuffed it. And now pretty soon it's getting in the way of things in my life. And then pretty soon I'm getting loaded over it.
Now, would you tend to bounce things off sponsors? Because I would imagine for most people, there's a number of times where something comes up and you're kind of like, I'm not so sure I owe an amends on that. You know, and then it's kind of like where someone on the outside looking in might say, oh, yeah, you do. And you might be like, I don't really see it. And they might be like, oh, yes, you do. You owe an amends for that. And you'd be like, I mean, do you need to really be convinced of it yourselves to make the amends? Or have you ever made amends on things where you're just not really quite sure you needed to, but you did anyway?
I think you're making a much bigger deal out of it than it is.
I think you kind of know.
Yeah.
If you don't know, then maybe you need to talk to your sponsor.
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah. You know, it's like,
do you ever have to bounce something off your sponsor to make sure?
In the beginning, when you first get sober, I think I bounced should I paint my nails pink this week? I mean, everything was bounced off my sponsor. But now it's like, I pretty much know because you feel bad in your skin. You don't feel right with yourself when you do something wrong.
Did you go to your sponsor and say, I'm thinking about blowing my husband today? Is that okay?
No.
That explains a lot. I'm sorry. Let me do a 10th step on that. I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
I think part of the purpose of the 10th step is to help us get closer to acting like normal people. And normal people, when they do something wrong, they don't have to ask somebody. They just go and apologize for it.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. It's like we sit here and we have to argue with ourselves. And if it's something we need to make amends for, normal people are like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even wait till the end of the day. They're in the middle of the sentence they just finished and are like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. I should have said that. And it's like we're like arguing with it to review at the end of the day to make sure. And like normal people just like do it in the midst of the conversation where they fucked it up.
Don't forget, we came into the rooms really high on justify and blame.
Yes.
And I said it's accept and...
It's always somebody else's
clean
fault.
It up.
Actually, yeah. That'd be a really good t-shirt.
What?
Oh, shit. I shouldn't have said that. Because I could wear that like 50% of the time and it would be accurate. Because
apropos.
I'm notorious for saying exactly
the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yes.
Not that this has anything to do with that.
What?
But, of course, it's YouTube. I saw a video the other day, and these people were walking around Tokyo, and these people are wearing
these shirts
with English writing on them, which they have no idea what they are. But there's things like, there's this one that's like, it says bitch down the side, and they're like, hey. Yeah, and the guy's asking in Japanese, do you know what that means? And they're like, no. And then he goes, and he says whatever. And the girl's like, oh, my God. And there's one that says, like, slut. Like, real big.
And it's like a 75-year-old woman wearing it.
Yeah. And they just think the shirt is so cool.
Yeah,
because it has English writing on it.
And then there was the one, it was like a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old wearing a shirt that had every racial slur you could possibly think of printed on the shirt.
Perfect.
And she's standing there smiling, and I'm like, she has no idea what she's wearing.
But we digress.
Funny. Yes, we digress.
Yes.
So, let's say... How good are you doing it with, like, this would be a little bit on the subject of the last show, but we know that what really worked for us when we were new was sponsors kind of kicking our ass or just kind of talking shit to us. And it's like, I always wonder if the guy that just laid into someone and just talked shit to him, if they thought later, I wonder if I went overboard on that. I wonder if I should make an amends on that. Because I didn't ever have anyone make an amends to me.
Oh. It's a necessary part of the program.
But I know. Still is. But I know when guys told me, ah, look at you, kid, you're not a fucking alcoholic. I spilt more than you ever drank. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you were a sloppy drunk.
You were sloppy drunk.
Because I spilled it on the table. I licked it up like a dog.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, you know. I think we hit those steps 10, 11, and 12. And Shelley said it. Shelley said it. It's about normalcy. It's about being able to live a life that gives me a sense of doing what I always thought normal people did. That I never knew before that. It's like, wow, people say, hey, I'm sorry I said that. Hey, I'm sorry I did that. Hey, excuse me. Hey, I hope you're okay. Hey, you know. I have no problem saying, Shelley, I'm sorry I offended you with my opinion on Harvey Weinstein earlier.
Bam! 10-step, baby. Right there. Look at that.
So.
See?
You know.
And it's all fixed now.
Do I think what I said was out of line? No. But do I know that it was something that affected her in a negative way? Yes. Am I okay with that? Most of the time. But for purposes of the show, I thought today I
would. All the purposes of the show.
For purposes of doing the 10th step.
It's like an episode of All in the Family.
Yeah.
Now, then we have the other side of
Can
the 10th step.
Meathead?
Yeah.
We have the other side of the 10th step, which is also often the other side of the 5th step. The person that you make the amends to. It doesn't really matter if they accept it if you're willing to clean your side of the street. Because I would imagine it happened to me a couple times doing the 5th step. Not too much, though. Where someone is like, I don't accept your amends. Yeah. Well, that's okay. Because I made them. You know, and there's a certain freedom to that. You know what?
Sure.
I'm going to go make amends to you, and it doesn't matter if you accept them, because what matters is that I tried to clean my side of the street. So your reaction to it doesn't affect the fact that I put myself out there.
I work a 10-step for one reason and one reason only.
So you don't drink or get loaded?
So I don't have to do another 4-step.
There is that.
You know what? I've always wondered that.
A lot of people do multiple 4-steps.
I was going to say, here's a question for you, Shelley. You've heard people say that. I've done 5 or 6 4-steps, and I'm thinking, so in other words, you don't do 10-step ever. You know, it's like you don't do 10-step
I mean, stuff still comes up. Well, you do 10-step, but it's interesting if you're in a long-term relationship and that relationship ends. If you sit down and do an honest, thorough 4th step after that, how much stuff you held on to, especially toward the last year of that relationship.
So you're doing a 4-step about a specific thing, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing some targeted 4-step work. Because, I'm sorry, relationships are the last place where you do a thorough 10-step on a daily basis. That whole don't ever go
I
to
just
bed.
Did one a little
that
while
whole,
ago
that whole
Shelley.
Don't go to bed angry thing is bullshit.
During this show, I did one. I said, I'm sorry, Shelley. I did.
For what?
I don't even remember what it was because I did a 10-step on it. It doesn't affect
me. He already
me
did it.
It's
already
it doesn't affect me anymore.
When was this? I'm going to have to roll that back.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to hear it. You are going to hear it.
Yeah. I would do another 4th step, 4th, 5th, blah, blah, blah. If I got a new sponsor... And
what if you had a new boyfriend?
Huh?
What if you had a new boyfriend? What if you blew him out? And what if you sent Meathead packing? And
oh, would I do?
Don't give her any ideas. Look, did you see the look? Did you see the glint in her eye?
I did.
You know what? I posted. Listen to this. I posted a thing on Instagram the other day, and I said, "I've discovered recently the problem in all my relationships was me."
Yeah. I'm clear on that.
Shelley immediately goes and likes it. I'm like, okay.
Yes, the problem in this relationship is you.
I'm very clear on that.
But see, she's not. She's very clear.
I know it's
that
you.
It's me
I,
as
I
well.
Know it's you.
Yeah, she's very clear. It's me as well.
I would, getting back to my original point, I would, if I got a new sponsor and they wanted to go through all the steps again, I would do whatever that sponsor suggested.
Now, if you were writing.
But I haven't done another 4th step because I was trained to read. Well, at first I read it, but I was trained to do the whole, when I get into bed, okay, have I created any wreckage today? Nope, I think I'm good. I mean, you know, And I do that every day, so.
So what I'm wondering then is when you, if you go to write, and I know this isn't really 10 step, but if you go to write a second inventory, because one of the reasons we write inventory is it gives an extremely personal look at our background and our lives to our sponsors so they can really know what we're about and everything. Do you ever, or would you ever, put any of the stuff from your other inventories in it? Because we know you've gotten rid of that in the past, but would you do it if you had a new sponsor who didn't know any of that stuff? Would you include some of that so that they would know the real you from before and how far you've come?
It's hard for me to answer that because I had the same sponsor for 28 years. So,
but now you have a different one.
I do, and I did a four step, but it was once again it was targeted to my food addiction.
Oh yeah.
You know, so because I did what I found is my second four step that I did was much more thorough than my first one. Much more thorough, because they're not kidding when they tell you more will be revealed as
yeah,
you.
Yeah, true.
You know, and then one after my divorce. That, you know, once again, was pretty targeted, but still had other things come up into it. Because there were a lot of resentments I held on to the last couple years of marriage that, you know, you don't go make amends on a nightly basis in a marriage because you don't like sleeping on the couch or getting shit thrown at you. So, you know.
Yeah, there's that.
You just get tired of that after a while.
I could probably stand to do... See, now the thing is, if you're talking about a targeted four step, is that really a four step or is that just a big 10th step?
Well, it's a four step. Mm-hmm. You're going back.
Well, I
10th steps reviewing the day.
Well, I'll tell
you. That's
true. If you're going over a marriage that is now over, it can't be a 10th step because that's not promptly making amends
true.
On something.
That's
months and months later going, oh shit, I just realized some
yeah.
things about myself.
And by the way, a legal brief is not making amends.
I could probably stand to do another fourth on, just on like the last year because I got a lot of resentments.
I'll suggest that to your sponsor next time I talk to her. Shelly thinks she needs to do another four step.
No, please don't.
In fact, everybody who knows Shelly's sponsor, we should all call her sponsor
no,
when the
we
show
should
comes
not.
Out.
We should really not.
And
wait,
know that
really
Shelly,
not.
Shelly wants to do another four step.
Wait. Becky or Marty?
Becky or Marty?
Because Marty
oh my gosh.
Has a pretty good chance of hearing this.
Yeah, Marty who offered, I'll sponsor you, and then told me to call him the next day at, 6:45 in the morning or something?
No, probably 7:15.
Well, whatever it was, I slept through it.
And you know what he said? Typical.
Uh-huh. He didn't say anything. I texted him and said, I'm sorry. It was like 10 o'clock by the time I remembered. I'm sorry. I didn't wake up till 8:30. I forgot.
People don't call till they're ready.
Which
is funny because she's up at 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning. The one morning that she has a commitment to do something, she sleeps.
That's not true. It varies now. Sometimes I'm up really early. It depends on what the dog wants more than anything else.
So...
What?
We had a really long first part of the show, you know that?
Yes, we did, because we were talking
because
about
the first
Szechuan
part
packets.
Of the show, when I'm looking at the, people don't see this, but when I'm looking at the way it records, let's say that the width of the window is 10 inches, 7.5 inches of it is the first half of the show.
Sure.
Yet we're really to the end of this show.
Well, we got some recovery in there.
So, Shelly,
what's your
final words on the 10th step?
Do it early, do it often, like voting in Chicago.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Mark?
Learning to do a proper 10th step will save you a lot of grief.
Shelly, for anything that you think I've done to you or hurt you in any way, I sincerely...
Here's Bruce being full of shit.
So, Shelly... Who's the Lido music by?
Rusty Golden, his song Living Right Now.
Living Right Now. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
crystal clear. He took where I was going to find me, get me here. I've been found. Ooh, it's that straight on my way. And now I thank the good Lord every day that I'm living right now. Oh, tomorrow I know I'm ready for what it might bring. I'm not gonna sweat the little things. I've changed my heart and I couldn't stop doing what I shouldn't when I am.